If there's one thing Rothman's known for, it's twerking. Here's Carpenter and Rothman.
He does everything down in the Queen City. Radio voice of your Cincinnati Bengals, University of Cincinnati Bearcats, football and hoops. His name is Dan Hoard, and he's our friend of the program. He joins us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Dan, I hope you and yours are doing okay.
Doing fine, Anthony and Bobby. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. All right, so I guess I know it's very tough to take like a poll of fans, but you know, you probably get a feel when they had the number one pick and then Burrow had the year that he had. He's an Ohio boy, you know. Is it all coming into place? Is there – I know we've seen these Tua Tagovailoa videos and he claims he's 100%. Where would you put the percentage on if the Cincinnati Bengal fan had a vote? How big of a landslide would this be that they'd want Burrow?
100%. I don't know a single Bengals fan. That's a slight exaggeration. 99.99999% Bengals fans want him, and that's the same percentage of the likelihood that they're going to get him. The Cincinnati Bengals will select Joe Burrow, number one overall in the NFL draft in, what is it, 17 days now, 16 days?
Yep. Right in that area, yep. Exactly. Yep. Let me follow up real fast then. If we know that's going to happen, you got Andy Dalton there, who was benched for Ryan Finley after they lost a lot of games. What is the option there with Andy? What's your read on this now?
Well, they want to trade him. Unfortunately, it just happens to be a year where there are more decent quarterbacks available than there are seats at the table. I thought the Bears were a realistic possibility. They opted for Nick Foles instead. I don't know if the Bengals were asking for too much or if there just isn't that much interest. I really don't know the answer to that question. But if they could get any sort of draft pick for him at this point, I think they would take it. And if they can't, before the start of the season, they'll have to let him go because they can't have $17.5 million on the books for a backup quarterback.
And so what do you see the timeline of that being? Like, how long do you think they will hold out for a trade before they ultimately decide to part ways with Andy in one way or another?
Well, if they could get a pick before the draft, they would take it. After that, my best guess, and it's really just a guess, is that they will hold on to him as long as they can in hopes that maybe somebody has an injury and has a sudden need, and then they could get a pick. But when you reach the week before the start of the regular season and guys that are veterans that are on the roster under contract are guaranteed their salary, at that point he will have to go. So, you know, they want to be fair to Andy. They like him. They want to give him the opportunity to be a starter somewhere if a team exists where he would get that chance. So they may release him earlier than the calendar that I just outlined, but I would be really, really surprised if he's on the roster to begin the year.
Dan Hoard with us, radio voice of the Bengals. Traditionally, they don't spend like this. I don't know whether Mr. Brown took a sharp blow to the head on the way out of the office, but they've spent more than $140 million in free agency this offseason, so let's grade it a little bit. They've added five or six new starters. They've upgraded the defense. How would you grade some of their additions here with Reader and then a couple of guys from my Vikings in the secondary? How would you grade it out so far?
I'll give it an A-. You know, I think, as you mentioned, they've added several new starters on defense for a defense that's really struggled for the past seasons. I think DJ Reader alone is worthy of giving them at least a B because that's the type of guy that they have never signed in free agency. Any team in the NFL with a need inside would have taken him. He's 25 years old. Pro Football Focus had him ranked among the most effective defensive tackles in the NFL last year. So some people have suggested, well, it's too much to pay for a two-down defensive tackle. Number one, I'm not sure that's even accurate because his pass rushing stats were good when given the opportunity last year. But when you can't stop the run and now you can add a 350-pound immovable object like that who's 25 years old and still has a lot of upside, that's a great addition.
You know, outside of working on the defense, Dan, where do you see areas that they would potentially want to add in the draft to help facilitate the growth, presuming that they take Joe Burrow?
Well, linebacker is still a glaring need. They did add Josh Bynes, who played well for the Ravens last year, but he's 30. He's never been a great player. I think he's better than what they have, but they're still looking to upgrade at linebacker. Right now they've got Jermaine Pratt, Josh Bynes, and a bunch of special teams guys. So if one of the top linebackers in the draft slides to the top of the second round, I think that's a very realistic possibility, and there are about three or four guys that fit that description.
Let's switch to the Bearcats. I mean, what a season, right? I mean, they had to feel incredibly good that Luke Fickell decided to stay and turn down the potential offer and opportunity to replace Mark D'Antonio at Michigan State. So, you know, a coach from a group of five doesn't often turn down a power five. That's a pretty big story.
No question, especially when he can almost double his salary, which would have been the case with Luke Fickell. I mean, he's well paid here in Cincinnati. I think he's going to get up to about $3 million a year if and when they can work out a contract extension, and right now is not the time to do that. But it's going to happen at some point, and even if he gets bumped up to $3 million, that's still at least a couple million less than what he was going to get per year at Michigan State. So it's an incredible story, and it wasn't just Luke Fickell. They retained his right-hand man, Marcus Freeman, who I think would have been promoted to head coach had Luke Fickell gone to a Michigan State. Marcus Freeman turned down the NFL. He turned down the Tennessee Titans. Then Michigan State tried to lure him after they hired Mel Tucker as their head coach, and he turned that down. So they've kept their head coach, and they've kept their top assistant. That's a pretty good 1-2 punch.
You know, you mentioned Marcus Freeman there, Dan. How important is it, do you think, for them recruiting Cincinnati? The fact that Marcus Freeman is from Dayton, he's from Wayne, he grew up right around that area, and just to have an understanding of what you're walking into there with Luke Fickell and Marcus Freeman being both Ohio guys and a lot of other guys on the staff, maybe more so than they had with Tupperville prior to that.
It's gigantic, and not just because of the local ties that you mentioned with him being from Dayton, but he's a great recruiter. I mean, if you look at the great classes that they've had since Luke Fickell has been the head coach, the top two guys at reeling these people in terms of the assistant coaches have been Marcus Freeman and former Cincinnati quarterback Gino Gadulli, who's done a great job in this area and also in Northern Kentucky. So not only have they kept a great young head coach, but two outstanding assistants who happen to be outstanding local recruiters. And that's why the football program just keeps ascending during Luke Fickell's tenure.
They're certainly the favorites right now, right, in the AAC for this season?
You know, it's interesting. I would have said yes, but Vegas came out with over-unders yesterday or the day before. Cincinnati was at 8.5 wins. Now, last year, for some reason, they were at 5.5, and they won 11 games. This year, they're at 8.5, and it's not like the schedule is unbelievably difficult. They do have to go on the road to Nebraska early in the season, and they'll have some tough road games, as you always do in league play, but I think 8.5 is a little bit low. Meanwhile, Central Florida and Memphis were both double digits in Vegas in the preseason over-unders. So, I don't know, Vegas doesn't think Cincinnati is the favorite, but I do.
Very good, Dan. We always appreciate your time and insight, man. Best to you and your family, and hope to get you back soon when we're talking real football, buddy.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that is the voice of the Bengals and the Bearcats. He is Dan Hort. He was on the Bryant Heating Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline. Bob, they have done – I mean, he had Fickell and his staff that you – I mean, they had one of the best recruiting classes they had in school history.